We finally finished Luke 12:15 yesterday, so now let's go on. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits or store. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Let's look briefly at a certain rich man. Riches, plousiosis. It means abounding in material or spiritual resources, either one. Let's start in Matthew 19. We read this the other day, but it's the rich young ruler, but the end of it, it talks about in verse 22. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now obviously the word rich there is rich in abundance and possessions.
It's a different word? It's a different word or is it the same word?
Pardon? I didn't hear you.
Is it a different word or is it
No,
the
it's
same
the same word.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard the craziest explanation of the camel going through an eye of a needle. One of them, the most creative one, is that there's supposedly a gate somewhere around Jerusalem or in some town that was so low the camels had to get down on their knees to crawl through in order for them to enter the, and so it's just, but there is no such place. This means it's a parable. I mean the camel is the largest unclean animal, and so they're using an unclean animal and an eye of a needle to explain the difficulty of a rich man entering the kingdom of God. Why do you think that's so?
Your trust is in your wealth.
Yeah, that's pretty unclean.
Well, again, remember, rich are poor, and the opposite of rich is poor. But poor is this word, strange word, paktos. And Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. And the poor, Remember, the best parable of it, it's you're sick and tired of making bricks without straw. Or whatever it is you're doing, you've been there, done that. And so, anyway, we've studied that many times. Let's go to Luke 6. This is in the Beatitudes, or the right after the Beatitudes. Verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for of you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Let's go to Luke 16. This is the one that we've seen, I've talked about many times. It's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Starting verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Gehenna, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That parable has so many, we could talk for days about it. But anybody have any response or any questions about it? Well, the obvious question is that there appears to be that Abraham retained his identity. But again, this is a parable. It's not a way to describe the condition of the New Jerusalem or heaven or hell. All right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Chapter 8. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Again, this is a constant scripture that's read by this prosperity gospel. But I don't know of any place where Jesus was rich in material goods. But he was obviously abundantly rich in spirituals. So he became poor or empty that we might be rich. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. We're already in 2 Corinthians. No, let's not go there. Let's go to James. James says a lot about this. Verse 2. We're going to read through verse 11. My brethren, count it all joy, or count it the highest joy, when you fall into diverse testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. James chapter 1, we started in verse 2. Let's start over. My brethren, count it all joy, or the highest joy, when you fall into diverse temptations or testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, or falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Again, rich is what we're talking about. Let's go to chapter 2. My brethren, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there's come unto you, your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and you are become judges of evil things? Hearken, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before judgment seats, etc., etc. Let's go to chapter 5. A But let's talk a minute about these respective persons there. We've had all kinds of different people come here and here to eat. And I pray that we have treated them equally, or even the poor with more honor than we did the rich. I don't know, I can't remember all times, but I pray that if you ever saw me treat somebody that had some status any different than I treated the poor, that you would kick me under the table or something. But this is in all places.
Yeah.
That you, no matter what situation you're in, you have respect of persons. Are you different, a different person with that one who might do you some good than the one who has nothing? There's nothing he can do for you. And it's a biggie in the cosmic poker game. It's one of the biggest tells there is. But it's something we always need to see and be aware of, that there's no temptation to treat somebody that can benefit you differently than you would the poor who can do nothing for you. Amen? And you always remember the mercy with which you have been shown. Let's go to Romans 2 a minute. I want to show you something. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in a letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. And that sort of means the same thing. And again, this thing isn't a behavioral it's not an instruction in behavior. It's this location of sphere. It's, if you're in the New Jerusalem, if you're on the mercy seat, then these things happen. You won't treat anybody differently than you do anybody else. If you're not, then you're just trying to correct behavior. Amen? All right. Let's go to Revelation. Chapter 2. The message to the church at Smyrna in verse 8. How'd you like to have your name be Smyrna? That's almost as bad as Oli.
Worse. You're a girl, especially.
Smyrna.
Could have been Smirnoff.
Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. Smyrna.
Where are we?
Chapter 2, verse 8.
Revelation.
Revelation. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. We are so rich, it's beyond measure. Praise him for that. All right, go to chapter 3. This is to the church at Laodicea. Verse 14. This is the one you don't want to be in. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you have an ear to hear? You are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. All right, Revelation 13. Well, this is just, this is something we've studied so many times, but let's look. This is about, we're going to start reading about this second beast that he saw. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now again, this is the deadly, this is the, instead of Christ becoming religious, that's typified in the two horns and becoming like a lamb, but he's still speaking with the voice of the dragon, because he's teaching self-realization in the name of God. There's nothing that God hates worse than that. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, so that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beasts, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's the number of man. You and I. We think that because we've become religious, that we're not subject to the curse. One of our guests we had here, I won't mention his name, said, "Praise God, my thoughts are sanctified because I believe in Jesus Christ." How's that worked out for you? Your thoughts are not sanctified.
Yeah. Pretty obvious when you think about the thoughts of God.
Oh, that's just you, Pete, because you're evil. Now, Gary never has bad thoughts. He has good ideas. He causeth all, both great, rich, and poor, to receive the mark. And the mark isn't a mark. I mean, it's always the forehead, the mark on the forehead throughout the Bible. It represents how you think. Thinking the 666, you can never reach Sabbath. Seven.
We also had it all in the hand.
In the hand, because what you think is what you do. But what you do follows what you think.
But the hand was related to commerce, right?
Well, it's the whole of Canaan is related to commerce, but this is the idea that we could go forever on this one. All right, anybody, any thoughts, responses to any of this?
I had one back in James. I love that scripture, many lack wisdom, but they ask of God. And while it's being read, it's addressed to the brethren. Believers, the people of God, was not addressed to heathen. And
nothing in the Bible is addressed to the world.
Yeah. And so it's like you can't have wavering faith and expect to get anything from God. And the only way you can have unwavering faith is on the mercy seat in Christ and your home.
The only way you can have it is by having his faith.
Right, that's where I'm going. You know who your father is, you know who you are, and of course you ask. It's not like a big trick. You're just in communion with God, and you ask.
You ask and wait expectantly.
Yeah, and he always answers.
All right. Anything else? Yeah, no is sometimes an answer. No, and no is always an answer. All right, take it, big guy.